Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're in Colossians chapter 3, and we've spent the last few weeks on verse 18. After being told in the first two chapters that our salvation is complete and fulfilled in and through the person of Jesus Christ, that by receiving Him we have become complete. But now that we are saved, we function within a kingdom, within a culture that is not of the world. God's kingdom and God's culture has an order to it. And we're seeing the two cultures and the two orders clash as we've been in tune with the Supreme Court and their decisions recently. We see that the world system isn't deceitfully integrated in and amongst God's culture and vice versa, but that there is a distinction and a difference. And believers are being faced with following the Lord and His order rather than the order of the world. We cannot, as believers, let the world's culture and system dictate to us what God's truth is, or what God's order is. And that's what has happened in the church for the last several years, is the culture of the world has dictated the truth of God's word, even challenging God's word to the point that some believers even question the validity of God's word. But we have in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, through chapter 4, verse 1, the order of God of the completed life. I am now complete. I live a completed life before God. I lack nothing spiritually, nor in qualifications to be His child or to go to heaven. But there is an order that I am to function in. Verse 18, we've spent several weeks on this. Wives, be continually submitting yourselves to your own husbands as it is proper in the Lord. Again, proper in the Lord. Might not be proper or agreeable to the world system or the people of the world, but to the Lord, this is what's proper. This is what lines up with Him. And I want to say a couple of things before I leave this verse. In summary, what we have studied is that the word submission in the Bible, in the New Testament, means to be in an orderly relationship. It means to be lined up with the Lord in all of our relationships. It does not mean, straight across the board, do everything a human being tells you to do. It does not mean that. To the saved, when a wife is married to a saved husband, she is to be submissive to him in everything because his life is governed by the Holy Spirit, even if he should be in the flesh or in the human in his decision making. God overrules him and will deal with him. So when a wife is married to a saved husband, she is to submit to him in everything. But to an unsaved husband, she is still to be in submission to him. And this is where the meaning of the word submission comes out. She is to be in an orderly relationship with him. But as we saw in 1 Peter chapter 3, she's to live out her life in Christ, her relationship with Christ, in front of her husband without taking over the headship of the family, but living out her life in submission, but also living out her life in fear of God and not being intimidated by the husband at all. In other words, if the husband, who's unsaved, says to her, stop being a Christian, stop reading your Bible, stop following Jesus Christ, she is to obey God rather than man. We saw that in Romans 13 with the government, being submission to the government. But in Acts chapter 5, when the disciples were threatened not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus Christ, they said, we must obey God rather than man. An orderly relationship means to submit to the Lord instead of someone who's over you, seemingly, within the chain of command, someone over you commanding you or telling you to sin or telling you not to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So we understand the term submission means to be in an orderly relationship. We know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we studied about the saved husband and the saved wife who are married to a spouse who is not saved. Paul says, live out your relationship with Jesus Christ, and if the unsaved person wants to stay, let him stay. But if they want to leave, let them leave. If they don't want to be around you because you're a Christian, then he says, let them leave. A brother or sister is not in bondage in such cases. So even the scripture itself leaves it open and basically says your submission to Christ, your walk with him, do not submit to anybody who is telling you to sin or to deny Christ or to deny your walk with the Lord. But today in verse 19, we have a command concerning husbands. Husbands, be loving your wives and be not bitter toward them. I have to admit to you, if I were to retype and reprint this literal translation, I would not use the word loving. If I ever hate a word, it's the word loving. It denotes something very human, you know. He's not a loving person. What is that? You know, it's not about being loving as a person. I would correct that to say, husbands, continually love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Now, bitter has to do with loving or continually love the wife. Bitter is associating with be continually love the wife. When you find out what love means, you find out why some men become bitter. The word for love is the verb form agapao from agape. I, even though in our literal translation we translated love, and in the Bible it's translated love, and the Old King James is translated charity. There is no English word that rightly defines the meaning of agape. Love doesn't make it. Because love denotes or connotes different meanings to different people. There are various forms of love that are mentioned in Scripture. There's agape, and then there's phileo, which is the more prominent word. It has to do with family love and friendly love. There, in the Greek language, there's eros for erotic or romantic love. There are various kinds of love that represent different kinds of human love. But let me say to you today that even though there are many forms of love that are involved in a marriage situation or in relationships with all people, even though there are many forms of love, agape is not human. Not human. Agape means agape. It should always be translated agape, even though we translated love, just so people know what's represented here. So there's three things I want to tell you this morning about this word for love, and we'll see why husbands are not to be bitter against your wives because of it. Number one, agape is not human in origin. Not human in origin. If I am commanded to agape my wife, that doesn't mean that in the human I begin to be or try to be a loving husband. Agape is not human in origin, but it is spiritual. We're told in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, that God is agape. That's why I say you can't use the word love, because love is like a feeling or an action or a disposition. Where the Bible says agape is the person, the very nature of God himself. He is agape. So in all instances, when agape is to be the motivating, ministering factor, then it must be God. It must be his spirit, not me. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it tells us that agape is a fruit that is produced by the Spirit of God. So agape is the very nature, the very Spirit of God himself, and that agape is produced by the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. Agape is not human in origin. Now, just to give you a sample of how this works in a saved person's life. And we've gone over this before, but I want to emphasize a part of that today. Because people say that we have been commanded to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We've studied this before from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament and the New Testament that brings the commands over, it is not a command. In the Old Testament, it says, Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. God goes on to explain that, because I will pour out my spirit in you, and he will cause you to obey what I say. So I will love God and I will love my neighbor if I have been born of the Spirit of God. Now keep that in mind. I want to read to you 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, literal translation, to bring out for you what John is trying to say. He's using agape in 1 John as a qualifier that somebody is saved. Now realize right off the bat that if I were to say loving people is the evidence that you're saved, you'd probably say, well, I can see times when I didn't love, so I must not be saved. Remember, this is not human. This is spiritual. 1 John 4, 7 says, beloved, we should love one another. Because love is from out of God. So out right away, he's saying, if you say you're from out of God, you belong to God, you've been born of God, then you should love. Because he's there, right? We should love one another because love is from out of God. And everyone loving, which is a present participle, continuously, everyone loving has been born from out of God, and this person knows God. The one not loving did not know God because God is love. In this was manifested the love of God in us, because that God has sent his only unique Son into the world in order that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he himself loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation or substitute concerning our sins. Beloved, if God in this way loved us, we also are indebted to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we should love one another, God is dwelling in us, and his love has been perfected or completed in us. You see where the emphasis is? He's saying, if you're from out of God, if you belong to God, you've been born from out of his Spirit, if God is dwelling in you, then his love is dwelling in you. And this will be evident in his love influencing your life, his agape influencing your life. Which brings us to point number two. It is not human in origin, but it is spiritual. It is spiritual, and it is not fleshly, and it is not expressed toward the flesh. Someone under the influence of agape love is concerned about someone's spiritual welfare. Here's where we get human love and humanitarianism mixed with the agape love that the Bible talks about. It is evidenced from that 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 12 text that God's love was manifested towards us in that he sent his Son to be a substitute for our sins. As God looks at our spiritual condition and he sees what we need, he sees our spiritual condition and he sees we can't do anything about that spiritual condition. We can try to be religious. We can try to believe what the Bible says with all of our might. But the reality is that one cannot be saved unless one receives Christ. That is the process of salvation, and that is based on what Jesus did for us on the cross. The punishment was served. The penalty was paid. Now I can be saved. It was purchased for me. But the salvation process is receiving Christ. It's calling upon the Lord to save us, to send his Spirit to dwell in us. When that happens, we then become saved and his love has been perfected, because now the very person of God himself dwells inside of us. It's not about the flesh. You don't know how many times I have heard over the years complaints from the wives. Well, if he loved me, he would do what I want him to do. Kind of sounds like us as kids, right? I can remember. I remember Carl's Hobby Shop in Westchester. In fact, I loved that place so much. In fact, it was about 10 miles from my house, if not further. I lived in Inglewood. And in Westchester was Carl's Hobby Shop. I used to ride my bike up there just to walk through the store and look around at all the stuff. And then ride all the way home. Well, I had the great thrill when I went to junior college is that I got a part-time job there in the stationery department. And I got fired because I was never in the stationery department. I was always out looking at the hobbies. What are you doing out here again? There's a lady waiting in the stationery department. Okay. So I But there was Carl's Hobby Shop. And then, but when I was younger, I mean really young, before I could ride a bike, my mother used to take me there. Oh, and I remember to this day, there was a long fire truck up on the top shelf. Yeah, got to have that truck. And I told my mother, as you drove us all the way here, I don't want it to be for nothing, but I really want that fire truck. She says, can't afford it. Oh, I put up a tantrum. I told her, if you loved me, you'd buy that fire truck. I mean, you know, it's like love is proven by how you treat the flesh or treat the human. Well, human love might be that way. And no, she didn't buy it for me. And yes, I was ticked. And I don't know how this works out, because as I look back on it now, I look back on it, it must be a joke of some kind, because when I had that part-time job many years later, I had my own car. My brother-in-law gave me a 1953 Buick. And so it wasn't cool, I can tell you that. So what I did is I put spacers in the springs in the front to raise it up. Took the grill off. Oh, now you're cool, right? I took the air cleaner off so that it would sound like it had something under the hood that it doesn't, you know. So one day when I left work, I went to start the car, and it backfired and caught fire underneath the engine. Fire truck caught fire. So I exited my car and went in and had them call the fire department. Fire department showed, all people start gathering around now because this car is on fire in the parking lot. So I'm just standing amongst the crowd. I'm not letting them know it's my car. And watched the fire department put the fire out. And I thought, well, how ironic. I wanted the fire truck and she didn't buy for me. And I come out here and then all of a sudden, and after working there, I start my car and it catches fire. Wonder if there's a connection there. But our approach to love is, how do people treat me? How do people make me happy? How do people make my feelings feel good? All of these things should be in consideration as far as abuse and all of these things. But agape has nothing to do with that. Agape has to do with one's spiritual welfare. Now, when husbands are commanded to agape your wives, husbands are commanded to do now and to make decisions and to provide leadership in the household to make sure that the spiritual welfare of the wife is satisfactorily taken care of. Make sure she gets to the Word of God. Make sure she gets to fellowship. Make sure she has a Bible she can read. Make sure she has time alone with the Lord. On the other hand, as a man, I have things that I want to do. Sunday's my only day off. She wants to go to the beach. Or I want to go to the beach and I say, let's go. So I take her away from the Word of God. I haven't sacrificed myself, because that's the third point. Agape love is sacrifice. Like God sacrificed His Son for us. So husbands are to sacrifice themselves for the spiritual welfare of their family. That means that maybe the softball league or the bowling league that we are in, we have to give it up. It hinders the Word of God, hearing the Word of God. It has to do with my decision making, making sure that I'm under the influence of God's Spirit for the spiritual welfare of my family. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, Paul, concerning this very same teaching, because you know that it's Colossians 3 parallels Ephesians 5. He taught the same thing in both places. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27, he says, husbands, continually love. Notice how I changed that for Ephesians. Husbands, continually love your wives according as Christ also loved the assembly. And he gave himself on behalf of it. So husbands, love your wives by giving yourself on behalf of her like Christ did for us. In order that, this is Christ, in order that he might sanctify her, having cleansed it by the washing of water in the word. In order that he might present it to himself, a glorious assembly, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but in order that it should be holy and without blemish. In other words, my number one concern and responsibility in relationship to my wife is to make sure that one day she stands before Christ holy and without blemish and sanctified and washed and cleansed by his word. That is my number one priority. And now you can see, make the connection, why he says, and do not be bitter against them. Because once men are saved and once men start functioning in God's order, men realize that the manly men things that they have done in the past and want to do is that we have to deny ourselves and we have to make the spiritual welfare of the wife and family top priority. It can cause some men to become pretty bitter. We've got our things we want to do. There are things that we think we have to do. But in reality, God's calling me to agape. It says, husbands, agape your wives and be not bitter toward them. It's not human love. The flesh of the woman might not be satisfied in getting her own way or insensitivity. We're very insensitive people as men. So we need God's Spirit to make us sensitive. But more so, sensitive to the Spirit of God. There might be things that, and mostly that men would have to say no to. Nope, can't buy that red fire truck. Remember back in Galatians chapter 3, God said after Adam and Eve sinned, he said to Adam, because you listened to the voice of your wife instead of to me, then the following consequences will be upon you. That was his sin. His sin was he received a command from God and he knew it wasn't right to eat from the fruit of the tree, but she, being deceived, as we saw from 1 Timothy chapter 2, she being deceived, she took the fruit, she ate of it, and gave to her husband. He goes, oh, well, okay. Rather than standing firm with what God says. So husbands, as the wives are to be continually in submission to the husband, the husbands are to agape their wives continually. Leading her and the family and the influence in the family and the body of Christ, because the same word agape is used for our relationships with other people as well. There are human expressions of affection and friendship and love between human beings, but agape is the one thing that is necessary and needed between all believers, not just husbands for wives, but to be under the influence of God's Spirit, who is agape, who is concerned about people's spiritual welfare more than and over the physical wants and desires. And we all know that the human nature, the sin nature that we have, always wants what it wants, and what it wants is usually against what God wants. So that is a hard, responsible position to be in, is to find out what God wants, find out what is spiritually right for the situation and the circumstance, and make the decisions based on what is spiritually right, what God wants. So it's not just husbands with wives, but it's wives with husbands and parents with children and brothers with sisters and Christians with other Christians. As a matter of fact, Jesus in the Gospel of John told the disciples, "By this all men will know that you're my disciples because of your love for one another." Not your love for the people of the world. Agape love is shared amongst believers. And when the non-believer sees the agape love among believers, they're going to want in on it, because they will see not a human expression of love, they will see Christ. A love that is concerned about people's spiritual welfare, not about their human needs and wants. People are who are unsaved, they're, whether they realize it or not, they're empty and they're crying out for that which is supposed to live inside that satisfies. They want a love that's not going to be there to cater to them. A love that satisfies and provides for the deep down inner need of the human being. That's agape. That's God. And He's the only one that can satisfy it. So we learn husbands are in a very responsible position before God. I'm going to be responsible for myself before God, how I denied myself and took up my cross to follow Christ, how I denied myself to lead my family, how I denied myself for the betterment of my brothers and sisters in Christ, how I denied myself to allow God to work through me to those around me, especially in my neighborhood or where I work or where I go to school, whatever the case may be. I am responsible for denying myself and allowing the agape of God to cause me to be concerned about people's spiritual welfare over and above my own welfare, and even over and above their own human welfare. Because a lot of times God puts us through very difficult circumstances, even to the point you hear people say, "How can a God of love let that happen?" It's because He's more concerned about our spiritual welfare and trying to get our attention to that need than He is our human comfort. And sometimes He will cause people to suffer greatly to help them see their need for Christ, because that is their greatest need. That is a God of agape. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your agape for us, that You saw our spiritual condition and You sent Your Son, sacrificed Your Son for us, that You came to live within, and the agape of God now lives and resides and dwells within us. And we are to seek the guidance and influence of your agape love that goes deeper than the human care, but gives a concern for someone's spiritual welfare. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to see our own personal responsibility, as we saw the first hour, how intimate you desire to be with us, as close as our mouth and our hands, how you desire to have the agape of God be expressed with our mouth and represented with our hands, but how we are to be responsible for our own speech and our own actions, that others will see the agape of God in us. Help us to see that agape is the major command and function among all relationships that believers have with one another. We should be concerned about offending others or giving the wrong impression or wrong teaching or idea of what the truth of Christ is. People should see our lives and see the truth, and it should guide and lead them in the right direction in following Christ. We pray that you would make us that person. Create this agape in us, not the human, mushy-gushy love that even some churches present in using the English word love, but help us to see that agape is not human in its origin. It's not human in its concern, but the depths of the spiritual need and the spiritual concern of others. We pray that you'd help us to understand this and work these things out in us, that we would look for the influence of your agape in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.